Thank you, Madison, for opening in prayer and for leading the singing. We're marching to Zion. What a wonderful thought that is. My thought this morning is, I didn't use the word marching, but walking. How do we recognize those that are marching to Zion? Because they're simply not walking. They're not, I don't think, marching in a specific manner, so to speak, in a physical walk. And they're certainly not singing it. We're not singing it all the time, that we're marching to Zion. How do we recognize a child of God? How do we recognize those that are marching to Zion? If I ask you a question this morning, do you, and I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but if I ask the question, do you love Jesus? Thank you. You just couldn't hold that back. I love it. I am certain most hands would go up. The title of the message this morning, Walking in Obedience. I guess it could have been Marching to Zion. But walking in obedience, I ask the question, do you love Jesus? John 14, verse 15, this is what Jesus said. To those of you that in your heart said, I love Jesus. This is what he says in verse 15 of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, there are some Saturdays that I'm home. Now, if my wife said, I'm leaving for town, I'll be gone for a while, but I have something I'd really like for you to do while I'm gone. I would really like for you to take out the trash, maybe. We'll use that as an example. Please take out the trash. Now, after she comes back, she would ask me that question. She would ask me a question. Have you taken out the trash? I don't answer the question, but I start telling her all of the things that I did do. I did the dishes. I swept the floor. I cleaned the bathroom. And I just give her a list of things that I did do. Good things. But then she gets an opportunity to inject that question again. Did you take out the trash? Did you not just hear all the good things that I did while you were gone? Did all these good things? I mean, I was busy. And all you're worried about is whether I took out the trash or not. How do you think Sarah would feel if I showed no interest or care in taking out the trash? Some time ago, I asked Sarah, I asked the question, how can I be a better husband? This is what she said. When you show care, or I asked the question this way, how can I show love to you? Or how do you feel my love to you? How can I best show that in becoming a better husband? How can I best show love to you? And this is what she said. She said, when you care about the things that are important to me. When you care about the things that are important to me. Now, that example didn't happen about taking out the trash. Well, maybe it did. I could see that happen. Not in that exact way. But if I don't watch it, the things that are important to Sarah are just not that important to me. Why worry about the trash? I can do that anytime. I think the dishes need to be washed. But when I show care to the things that are important to her, do small things matter in our walk with God? Jesus said, if you love me, yes, thank you. Sarah could say, if you love me, take out the trash. Care about the things that I care about. The things that are important to me, that they're important to you. Turning to Numbers, the 8th chapter, looking at a couple of verses here. Walking in obedience. These verses struck me. I'm sorry, Numbers 8. Did I say 8? Numbers 8, starting in verse 1. Do small things matter to God? Do His commandments matter? Do they matter to us? Is obedience important to you? We say it is. But do we really believe it? Do we really believe that being obedient, that showing love to Jesus, if we love Jesus, that we will keep His commandments, that we will obey the things that He has instructed us to do? Is it important to us enough to live it? Now in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. Do we show care? When God instructs us to do something, do we do it right away, and do we do it as He instructs? Or we say, well, it really don't matter where we put the lamps. It's going to light. It's going to give the same light. But He gave careful instructions that it would shine back against the candlestick, that it would light up the table with the showbread, that it would show light on the 12 loaves of bread there representing the tribes. It was important to God. It was important to God to carefully instruct and that those instructions were followed. Do you love the commandments? Do you love Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, once again, to the 21st chapter, to verse 15. Walking in obedience is dependent on the love that we have, is is a sign of that. The love that we have for the Lord. Now here in John 21, starting in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Now it would seem like Jesus is trying to antagonize Peter in some sense. I can just imagine how Peter was feeling at this point when someone questions our love for them. And Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying but what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Now there are different lessons that we could get out of this story. Jesus was using Peter's old name here. And he said, he asked the question, Lovest thou me more than these? Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Now in the Greek here, as we study this chapter in depth, the first two times that Jesus asked him, he was asking him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Do you love me with agape love? We know agape love is unconditional. And Peter responded, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And in the original wording, he is saying, I filio you, that I love you with filio love, which is a brotherly love, a friendship love. And then the third time, Jesus answered him in the like manner of love that Peter was expressing. We get the picture that Jesus met Peter where he was, but Jesus was trying to draw Peter to and stretch him to a deeper love. It's going to take even a deeper love, a continuing love. Peter was the one that said, even if all the others forsake you or deny you, I won't do that. But Peter did. He did it three times. And here we find Jesus asking Peter three times, Do you love me? Do you love me? And what kind of a love is it that you love me with? When someone instructs us three times, repeated instructions, that we pay special attention to it and we remember it. But I believe Jesus was also showing him and to the disciples that were there that he was calling Peter to an even deeper relationship with him, and that he was restoring that relationship that they had. But he says, verily, verily, wanting him to take it serious and to follow the path that he instructs him. In the last verse, in verse 19, he says, follow me. God is calling us to a deeper love. God is calling us to obedience. He's saying, you can't just say you love me and not do the things that I'm instructing you to do. If you truly love me, you're going to want to keep my commandments. You're not just want to take your own way. As we think of obedience, obedience is very important. Why? For one, it shows our love to him. But I want to look at three things this morning that obedience does in our lives. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. As we think of obedience and the importance of it. And what the results are. What are the results in our life when we love the Lord and we follow, we obey His commands? We obey His commands. The things that are important to God become important to us. And so I want to look at a couple of stories of the blessings, the promises that when we walk in obedience, that things would go well for us. The first one I want to look at is obedience brings healing. Obedience brings healing. Now this is in this chat or in this story here, we find a physical condition, but we could apply that spiritually as well. I think for the sake of time, I will start in verse 11. This is a very familiar verse, or a very familiar story about Naaman's leprosy and how the curse that it really was in that time. Who Naaman was, and now he gets leprosy, he was going to lose his position, everything that he had. He was going to be an outcast until that little servant girl told him that there was hope for him, that there was a prophet of God that could help him. Now, so Naaman goes to see Elisha. In verse 8, and so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now you would think, well, that's easy enough. I mean, here I thought my life was essentially over. He's saying a short little bath, a few little dips, all is well. Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. In verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Isn't that just humanity in a nutshell? If Naaman had been bid to go do some great thing, they're saying, they knew Naaman well enough, he would have done it. Spent, I'm sure, a ton of resources in doing that. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The act of obedience. If you love Jesus, you'll keep his commandments. To be obedient, to walk in obedience. Hear such simple things. We just have to shake our heads. I mean, why wouldn't he go do that? How simple. A child could do that. Go down to the river, dip up and down a few times, you're clean. And yet, are we any different? God is calling us to simple obedience, to keep his commandments. Obedience brings blessings. Genesis, the 12th chapter. I'm not going to go too deep in that chapter, but the 12th chapter of Genesis, we find the call of Abram. In verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was the call to Abram. And further in the chapter, we would read that Abram obeyed. Obedience, when followed promptly, brings blessings. I think it's so important to obey promptly, to go right away when God calls us, as Abram did. Sometimes we want to just sit and figure it all out. Well, Lord, how's it going to end? Well, how hard is it going to be? Well, would you please just tell me the pros and cons? Abram went. Prompt obedience, I believe, is what he showed there. And it brings blessings. The other thing that obedience brings in our lives is victory. Obedience brings victory. Joshua, the 6th chapter. The fall of Jericho. A very interesting but kind of perplexing story as we look at how battles were fought in that day and how God instructed them to go about doing this. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the covenant. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Why? Lord, God, you're so powerful. Why can't we just walk up there, blow the trumpets extra loud, shout, and have the walls fall down? Why all the instruction? Why all the extra trips around the city? And we wonder. And the people in the city, they had to have thought, these are the people of the only true living God. Like, that their God's supposed to be powerful. Doesn't look very powerful to me. They're marching around the city. I mean, that doesn't seem very threatening. And they're being quiet. God does things in such a way that he only receives the glory. Obedience brings victory. Obedience brings healing. Obedience brings blessings. Obedience brings victory. We don't understand or pretend to understand the ways of God, but we know they work. And God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a characteristic of a child of God to keep his commandments, to walk in obedience, whether we understand it or not, whether we think it'd be an easier way to do it, that we're okay doing it God's way, because that's how he instructed it. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Can we really grasp that? He's saying, Thou shalt love the Lord, not just with filial love, with a brotherly friendship love, but agape love, unconditional love. First John 4, I invite you to turn there in closing. 1 John 4, 16. Talking about someone that's marching to Zion, walking in obedience, a child of God. Verse 16, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Psalms 119, 105. Did want to share that. Almost forgot. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we love the Lord, we will keep his commandments. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we think of marching to Zion, walking in obedience, this world is dark. It's dark. I had to think of a hike that I took with some of the staff here a few days ago. The woods were dark. Very dark. But we had lamps, headlights, headlamps. And so for some of us, we had light in front of us, before us, behind us, and on us. I can't imagine trying to make that hike without any light. And yet, when we walk without obedience, when we are not walking in obedience, deliberately walking in disobedience, we're walking in the dark. So I challenge you to keep marching onto Zion, but to endeavor, if you love Jesus, one of the results of that, to have agape love, unconditional love, that only God can give us. One of those results is that we will keep His commandments. We will love His commandments. That the things that are important to God are important to us. For those of you that can, let's stand for prayer. Kind Father, at the close of the service, we thank You for giving us the Book of Life, for life, that we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to try to estimate or guess what Your will is for our lives. Father, that You have laid out clearly in Scripture a path that we can safely take, a path that will keep us from the evil that surrounds us, that we can march on to Zion in victory. Oh, I pray that our heart's desire would be that the things that You love are the things that we love. Father, You've showed us in Scripture that the deeper our love is for You, the deeper our love will be for Your sheep. Father, I pray that You would just guard and keep us. Give us wisdom, humility, and a love for Your word to commune with You. You have prepared the table. You're calling us to commune with You, to dine with You, even in the presence of our enemies. But our enemies are not invited. That where You are, there is protection and peace. Also, just lift Marlon to You as he leads Sunday school. Just keep him in Your care. Father, just pray that You would dismiss us with Your blessing, protection. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.